When the villagers had dispersed, Joachim followed Dietrich to the mill pond just above the sluiceway to Klaus's mill. The wheel turned in bright splashes of water, but the stones were silent, which meant the cam was disengaged. The mist cooled, and Dietrich welcomed the relief from the heat. Joachim faced the gurgling water where it jostled into the sluice, so that he and Dietrich stood with their backs to each other.
For a time the hissing water and the groaning wheel were the only sounds. Turning, Dietrich saw the young man staring at the bright crisscrossed lines of sunlight that quartered the choppy stream. "What is wrong?" he asked.
"You sent me away."
"Because you are clean, because you have a chance yet to live."
"But you also..."
Dietrich silenced him with a gesture. "It is my penance, for sins committed in my youth. I have nearly 50 years. How few I have to lose. You have not yet 25, and many years more remain in service to God."
"So,"
the young man said bitterly,
"you would deny me even the martyr's crown?"
"I would give you the shepherd's staff," Dietrich snapped. "Those folk would be filled with despair, with denial of God. Had I given you the easy task, I would keep you here."
"But I too wish the glory."
"What glory in changing bandages, in lancing pustules, in wiping up the shit and the vomit and the pus? Herr Jesu Christus, we are commanded all these things, but they are not glorious."
Joachim had edged away from his diatribe. "No, no, you are wrong, Dietrich. It is the most glorious work of all, more glorious than plumed knights spitting men on their lances and bragging on their deeds."
Dietrich remembered a song the knights used to sing in the aftermath of the Armlader. "Peasants live like pigs and have no sense for manners." "No," he agreed. "The deeds of knights are not always so glorious either." They had returned hate for hate and abandoned all sense of that chivalry for which they had once been renowned. If that renown had ever been more than lies on the lips of minnesingers. Dietrich glanced toward Castle Hill. He had asked once of Joachim where he had been when the Armlader passed through. He had never asked Manfred.
"We have been found wanting," Joachim said. "The demons were our test, our triumph. Instead, most escaped unchristened. Our failure has brought God's punishment upon us."
"The pest is everywhere," Dietrich snapped, "in places that have never seen a crank."
"Each to his own sin," Joachim said. "To some, wealth, to others, usury, to others still, cruelty or rapaciousness. The pest strikes everywhere because sin is everywhere.
And so God slays all, giving men no chance to repent. What of the Christ-taught love?"
Joachim's eyes turned dull and sullen. "The Father does this, not the Son.
He is of the old dispensation, whose gaze is fire, whose hand is a thunderbolt, and whose breath is the storm wind."
Then more quietly, "He is like any father angry with his children."
Dietrich said nothing, and Joachim sat for a while longer. After a moment, the monk said,
"I have never thanked you for taking me in."
"Monastic quarrels can be brutal."
"You were a monk once. Brother William called you Brother Angelus."
"I knew him at Paris. It was a sly jibe of his."
"He is one of us, a spiritual. Were you?"
"Will cared naught for the spirituals, until the tribunal condemned his propositions. Michael and the others fled Avignon at the same time, and he threw in with them."
"They would have burned him."
"No, they would have made him rephrase his propositions. To Will, that was worse."
Dietrich found a small smile in the jest.
"One may say anything if only it is framed as a hypothesis, secundum imaginationem. But Will holds his hypotheses as matters of fact. He argued Ludwig's case against the Pope, but to Ludwig he was a tool."
"Small wonder we are smitten.
Many a good truth has been upheld by wicked men for their own purposes, and good men have caused much wickedness in their zealotry."
"The Armlader?" Dietrich hesitated.
"There was one such case. There were good men among them."
He fell silent, thinking of the fishwife and her boy in the Freiburg market. "There was a leader among the Armlader," Joachim said slowly, "called Angelus."
Dietrich was a long time silent.
That man is dead now, he said at last. But through him I learned a terrible truth, that heresy is truth in extremis. The proper object of the eye is light, but too much light blinds the eyes. So you would compromise with the wicked as the conventuals do?
Jesus said the weeds would grow with the wheat until the judgment, Dietrich answered. So one finds both good men and bad in the church. By our fruits we will be known, not by what name we have called ourselves. I've come to believe that there is more grace in becoming wheat than there is in pulling up weeds.
So might the weed say, had it speech, said Joachim. You split hairs.
Better to split hairs than the heads beneath them.
Joachim rose from his rock. He skipped a stone across the mill pond. I will do as you ask.
The next day, 80 villagers gathered on the green under the linden, prepared to leave. They had tied their belongings into bundles which they carried on their backs or in a sack on the end of a pole slung across their shoulder. Some had the stunned look of a calf at slaughter and stood unmoving in the press with their eyes cast down. Wives without husbands, husbands without wives, parents without children, children without parents. Folk who had watched their neighbors shrivel and blacken into stinking corruption. A few had already started out alone on the road. Malchior Metzger went to Nicol Langemann, who lay on a pallet in the hospital, and embraced him one last time, before Gottfried shooed him away. Langemann was too far in delirium to recognize the caress. Gerlach Jaeger stood to the side and watched the assembly with no small displeasure. He was a short, thick-set man with a wiry black beard and many years of the forest in his face. His clothing was rough, and he carried several knives in his belt. His walking staff was a thick oak limb, trimmed and whittled to his pleasure. He stood now, with both hands cupped over the top of it, and his chin resting on his hands. Dietrich spoke to him.
Will they fare well, do you guess?
Jaeger hawked and spat. No, but I'll do what I can. I'll train 'em up in making snares and traps. And there's one or two might know which way the bolt sits in the crossbow's grove. I see Holzacker has his bow and his axe, that's good. We'll need axes. Ha! We don't need a casket full of clibbing. Shoot Feldman, what are you thinking? We're going in the lesser wood and up the Feldberg. Who do you think will carry that thing?
Herr Gott in heaven, Pastor, I don't know what people have in their heads.
They have grief and tragedy in their heads, Hunter.
Jaeger grunted and said nothing for a time. Then he raised his head and took his staff in hand.
I guess I count myself lucky. I've no woman or kin to lose. That's luck, I suppose. But the forest and the mountain, they won't care about grief, and you don't want to hie into the wilderness with half a mind. What I meant is that they don't need to take everything with them. When the pest has gone, we'll come back, and it'll all be here waiting.
I'll not be coming back, Volkmar Bauer snarled. This place is accursed!
And he spat for good measure. He was pale and unsteady yet, but stood among those leaving.
Others took up Volkmar's cry, and some threw clods of dirt at Gottfried, who had also come to watch them go.
Demons! Some cried. You brought this on us!
And the crowd growled and surged. Gottfried snapped his horny side lips like a pair of scissors.
Dietrich feared his choleric nature coming to the fore. Even in his weakened condition, Gottfried might slay a dozen attackers with his serrated forearms before sheer weight of numbers brought him down.
Jaeger lifted his staff and brandished it.
I'll have order here, he cried.
Why did they stay when their countrymen left, shouted Becker, to show us our doom?
Silence!
That was Joachim, employing his preacher's voice. He strode into the green, threw back his cowl, and glared at them.
Sinners, he told them. Do you want to know why they stayed?
He gestured toward the Krenkel.
They stayed to die.
He let the words echo from the surrounding cottages and Klaus's mill.
And to give us succor. Who among you has not seen the sick comforted, or the dead buried by them? Who, indeed, has not been nursed by them? Save by your own obstinacy. Now you are invited to a greater adventure than any Minnesinger's invention. You are invited to be the new Israel, to pass a time in the wilderness, and possess as your reward the promised land. We will bring in the new age. Unworthy we are, but we will be purified by trials as we await the coming of John.
Here he dropped his voice, and the murmuring crowd fell silent to catch his words.
We will live apart for a time, while Peter leaves. In the Middle Age passes away. There will be many trials, and some among us will be found wanting. We will experience privation and heat and hunger, and perhaps the wrath of wild beasts. But it will strengthen us against the day of our return.